Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the Great Big Wednesday Show here on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This hour, why we're Catholic. We discuss the reasons for our faith, the reasons why we believe both that Jesus is the Lord and that Jesus established a church which continues to function in the world today as the Catholic Church. Our number, if you would like to discuss why we're Catholic, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Trent Horn, convert to the Catholic faith, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of everything being published these days. Is that right? Are you publishing? Is every book now by Trent Horn?
Every book written by me is by Trent Horn.
Oh, that's what I should have said.
You're fully written by me. I do have some co-authorship in the works as well.
Can you tell us who your co-author is or no?
I can, actually. I'm co-authoring a book on how to explain moral issues to children with Layla Miller, who is a Catholic writer and a Catholic mother of eight.
Oh, well, she's been doing that for a while then.
It seemed like a good pair up. I'm very excited. We're almost done with the manuscript, and it should be available next fall.
What the Saints Never Said, Pious Misquotes and the Subtle Heresies They Teach You is Trent's latest book from Catholic Answers Press. You just go to shop.catholic.com if you want that one, where everything is 15% off right now, by the way, because it's spring sale. Today we discuss his very popular book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love, in one volume. Very direct, very concise and helpful answers about the various beliefs that Catholics hold, whether it's our belief in the Pope or our belief in purgatory or even things, basic things like our belief in God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Covers the whole gamut.
888-318-7884, the number again. Trent, it's nice to be sitting in the studio with you. It's a little strange for me. I don't usually sit in the studio with you.
I know. And so I always love when I'm back here and I can do this. And hopefully, if all works out well in the near future, I'll be here in San Diego actually to do this on a permanent basis. So the family's in a moving transition right now. Yeah. And so our friends in Phoenix are aware of this. Others in Phoenix have heard the news as well. So hopefully soon, I'll as a general rule, be here right across from you.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. Because, well, I mean, when we do see you, you're always working really hard. Like, you start in the morning and you start shooting things. Like, I mean, I don't mean shooting things, like not like animals and stuff, but like making a video about
this. And the most dangerous game of all.
No, Trent.
Which are bad ideas. Killing those bad ideas out there.
I thought you were going to say hunting people. Isn't there a movie called The Most Dangerous Game?
I think there is, but I've heard the phrase before. So, yeah.
Why we're Catholic is the topic.
But I think what you're saying is, you know, I come and visit and I'm always running around shooting a video documentary and don't get a lot of quality time here. So I'm looking forward to that, though. I still am getting a lot of good filming in. I posted on my Facebook yesterday a little behind the scenes photo of me filming a DVD we're planning to release in July called The Case Against Contraception, which is apropos, very appropriate.
For this year.
Yeah, for the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae. So that DVD will cover the logical arguments, the theological arguments, and the social and medical reasons to oppose contraception.
Oh, looking forward to it. That's cool. But now, because you're doing all this video stuff, you end up working with Andrew Hermes, our videographer, a lot.
I do.
So you just offer that up to the Lord, or how do you?
I do want to offer it up to him, though. If you hold on, I hope I have something to offer to the Lord, because if Aborigines are correct that a camera steals your soul, then I guess a video camera would steal it 29.97 times every second.
Wow.
Or no, a film camera would steal it 24 times a second, because a film is shot 24 frames per second. Yeah. Video is shot 29.97 frames per second. So I guess it.
But you don't have that much soul.
I guess not. If you're being videotaped for hours on end.
You know what? Just listen to Motown. after you make them, you get your soul restored.
And cook up some soul food and you're good.
There you go.
Yeah.
We better move on. Robert in Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Our topic today with Trent Horn is why we're Catholic. Robert, your question.
This is the third time I've been first in a row.
Really? Robert, I'm going to put you second then. That is just not right to take your call first every time. All right, go ahead. Your question for Trent.
Okay, how do I defend being a cradle Catholic to people such as atheists and secularists?
Okay. Well, I guess, Robert, there would be two things you would have to do when you engage someone who is an atheist or someone who describes themselves as being secular. One would be explaining the faith to them and making sure that they don't have any inaccurate understandings of Catholicism. So if you're talking to someone who's an atheist or someone who identifies as being secular, it really depends on the person you're talking to, because people come in all different stripes and all different personalities. So, I mean, I know atheists who are very live and let live and think religion is just fine and they don't want to talk about it very much. And other atheists who are advocates and they love to debate Christians and want to deconvert people. So it really depends on the the attitude of people. The people you speak to, would you say they're kind of more active and militant, or they're kind of, you know, passive about this, or kind of live and let live? What's their personality like?
It varies, but there was one guy who was a bit militant.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and I think when that happens, when someone's coming at you with arguments, you should make sure to challenge their assumptions and make sure they defend their points of view. So if you have an atheist who's very aggressive with you, I would use the question approach that I routinely use on Catholic Answers Live to make them defend their own position, so that you actually don't have to be the one offering all the answers to them. So if they say, a lot of atheists who are quite militant will make assertions like, there's no good evidence for God, religion is the cause of wars, or religion has done more harm than good, religion's done all kinds of bad things, Catholics believe crazy stuff. You should ask them, well, how do you know there's no good arguments for God? Like, what's the best one you've heard and what's wrong with it? How do you know religion has been the cause of most wars? Or, you know, what's your source on that? And also pointing out where they're making inconsistencies in things. So if they point out that, you know, certain Catholics have fallen into sin and done bad things, like with the clergy abuse scandal, you might ask them, but isn't it true that in all belief systems or non-belief systems, there are people who fall short of the ideals that are presented? That doesn't mean that it's false. In fact, just recently, the president of American Atheists, David Silverman, had to step down for allegations related to sexual harassment. Now, that's not me saying, hey, atheists are wrong, look at this bad atheist. It's just something you can bring up to say, well, if atheists come at you like, here's some bad Catholics, you can say, look, there's bad people in all kinds of belief systems or non-belief systems. Shouldn't we look at whether the belief system is true or not? So ask questions. Demand that they provide evidence for assertions they make, and try to just find common ground wherever you can. So when I talk to atheists, I find many atheists find it helpful when I share with them, number one, that the Catholic Church allows people to believe in the theory of evolution. The Church has no official teaching on evolution, when many atheists think that Christians can't believe in evolution. And then if you can share this, I share with them that I believe in the theory of evolution and that there's no conflict with our faith. And that can be helpful for them to see that faith and reason don't contradict. So find common ground and then ask questions to make them support the assertions they may throw against you.
Robert, okay?
That's good.
Oh, okay, good. Robert, next time you call, you will be last. I just want you to know that before I let you go. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Trent Horn, Why We're Catholic, on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Are you looking for a dynamic Catholic speaker to present at your next conference or parish event? Well, we've got a whole host of speakers who are eager to share the truth of the Catholic faith in your community. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
If only evangelization was easy. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time, it's not. Talking about the Catholic faith is enough of a challenge even before dealing with the roadblocks that keep people from listening with an open mind. Apologist Carlo Broussard recognized that as he wrote Prepare the Way, a guide to step-by-step strategies that readers can use to break down those barriers, barriers to the very existence of God and religious truth, barriers to basic Christian beliefs, and barriers to the distinctive teachings and claims of the Catholic Church. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Learn how to overcome them. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel." St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why We're Catholic is our topic this hour. We'd like to share with you why we're Catholic. If you have a question about why we're Catholic, whether you are Catholic or not, that question is welcome. 888-318-7884 is the number. Trent Horn is our guest. I sometimes almost, instead of calling him Trent Horn, call him Council of Trent, but that's the name of the podcast. Not of the person.
That's right. Council of Trent, not the Tridentine Council, not the Ecumenical Council, but C-O-U-N-S-E-L, the Council, Advice of Trent. So that's my new podcast, available on iTunes and Google Play. So if you would like to get more weekly content and hear how to explain and defend the faith, you could subscribe for free at iTunes and other podcast outlets. Just search for the Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. And if you like premium content, you can listen to free episodes, but also subscribe for additional articles and additional episodes that I post for premium subscribers. That's at TrentHornPodcast.com.
TrentHornPodcast.com. Up next is Cameron in Seattle, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thank you for downloading the Catholic Answers app onto your phone, Cameron. Your question for Trent.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me?
Very well. Thank you.
We can.
Right on. Hey, I gotta say, first of all, you guys, I really appreciate your answer for the last caller. That was just really concise, and I like that you guys are well thought out on, you know, issues such as evolution that maybe the, you know, the Church and Scriptures don't touch on, and I think that was well measured. So appreciate that very much.
Sure, thank you. How can we help you?
So great. So I'm calling. So I am. I'm a Protestant. I've been enjoying the show. I've been really enjoying getting a nice insight into Catholic faith. And my question is, you know, I know a lot of people who have a Catholic background who, you know, quote-unquote converted to, you know, the Protestant church. And I've heard a couple of folks on your show talk about growing up in the Protestant faith and, you know, and in their turn, you know, converting to the Catholic church. And, you know, I've heard it from the other way. You know, I've heard folks who have, you know, converted to Protestantism and, you know, say what their, you know, their personal issues with the theology or what have you.
Sure.
But I'm curious what the thought, what the thinking is behind the conversion from Protestant to Catholicism.
Sure. And to answer that question, Cameron, I would say that for people who choose to become Catholic, ultimately, perhaps the major reason that they become Catholic is because they believe the Catholic Church is the church that Christ founded, and they are convicted of this truth in a number of ways through issues of, you know, different levels of importance for them. If you'd like to see more about different stories about why people become Catholic, I'd probably recommend a good book series called Surprised by Truth. Patrick Madrid is the editor of this volume. It's three volumes, actually. And there are a lot of great stories about why people converted and became Catholic. And when you read them, you'll see that they are different issues that really affected people. So I know people who left Protestantism and became Catholic because they were worried about authority. You know, they thought to themselves, well, where does the Bible come from? Why should I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, why these books, these 66 books for a Protestant Bible, why not other books? What about the Catholic Bible that has more books? Who gets to decide? Who decides what interpretation is correct? Who decides what is and isn't doctrine? So for them, it was the issue of authority going back to the church that Christ founded. For others, it's different. For some people, it's the Eucharist. They thought, hey, you know, if Jesus says this is his body and his blood and he really means it, what church can I find that teaches the Eucharist truly is the body and blood of Christ? Well, the Catholic Church teaches that, and they investigate there. For me, the biggest issue actually was salvation. When I read the Bible and I read what Protestants and Catholics believed, I was more convicted by the idea of the Catholic view of salvation, which is more of a familial view. A lot of Protestant views of salvation envision our salvation where God is like a judge who declares us not guilty of sin because we've made an act of faith in his Son. But when I read Scripture and look at the wholeness of Revelation, I see more what makes sense with the Catholic Church teaches, that salvation is a familial issue, that through baptism, we are adopted into God's family. We are reunited to him as his sons and daughters. And through the grace of the sacraments like the Eucharist, we're spiritually nourished so that our souls, that in the Protestant view, our souls are covered in the righteousness of Christ, but nothing changes about them. Whereas in the Catholic view, the grace of God actually changes our souls to make them righteous and makes us new creations to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that really moved me, and it made sense from a biblical perspective. So those are the reasons. And so people who choose to become Catholic, what they would do is they would go through a period of inquiry. Many of them take part in the RCIA process, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. And so they would go inquire, and then if they wanted to become Catholic, would be catechized or taught about the Catholic faith over a period of several months. RCIA is not required, but many people choose to do it. It's a popular way to become Catholic. You learn about the faith, you're prepared, and then you're received into the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil, usually, where if you're a Protestant who is validly baptized, you're confirmed. And if you were never baptized, like myself, you would be baptized and then confirmed and receive your first Eucharist. So those are some of the reasons, and that's kind of the basic process. Do you have any other questions or thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's super interesting. You know, I'm sure of course, there's going to be as many reasons for converting as there are, you know, people who have converted.
Sure.
I think that's really interesting what you're talking about, you know, the various ideas of salvation. I mean, when you're talking about the soul being changed by salvation in the Catholic faith, are you referring to a process of sanctification that involves the Eucharist?
Yes, well, the Eucharist is one way that the righteousness of Christ can be infused into our souls. So when Catholics receive the Eucharist, venial sin is forgiven, that the Eucharist spiritually nourishes us, just as what Jesus promised in John chapter 6, that he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no life within you. So the Eucharist is the way for God's divine life, his grace, to be given to us through Jesus' body and blood, because Jesus is our Paschal Lamb, that the Eucharist represents the culmination of Christ's Passover sacrifice, that, you know, John the Baptist said that Jesus is the Lamb of God. St. Paul said Christ, our Paschal Lamb, is sacrificed. And just like in the Old Testament, when the Passover Lamb was killed, it was then eaten. And so we receive Jesus, our Passover Lamb, that takes away sins as a way of sanctifying and justifying ourselves, increasing our justification, the justification of the righteous. So I know Catholics and Protestants, sometimes our differences, a lot of times it's just vocabulary that we differ about. You know, Protestants tend to believe that justification happens in a single moment at the beginning of one's spiritual life, that when one is justified through like a legal act, and then the remaining time is sanctification, growing in holiness. Whereas Catholics believe justification is a process, that our initial justification is by neither faith nor works. It's just by grace through baptism. We receive this. We become adopted into God's family. And then as we do works of charity infused with the grace of God to do these works, our justification grows in that regard through the works that God's grace empowers us to do. And this also continues the process of sanctification. So there's two resources I'd recommend if you'd like to learn more about that topic. and then just in general. Jimmy Akin wrote a great book called The Drama of Salvation, and it's a wonderful book that gets into justification, sanctification, if you want just a nice comprehensive treatment of that. And the other book would be Why We Are Catholic. And as I want to do, as you seem to be very open-minded among our Protestant brethren, I'd like to send you a copy. You could read it. And feel free to call back the show if you have questions about it. It might give you a little bit more insight into what Catholics believe. So if you stay on the line, our call screener will get your information, and we'll send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. And if you have questions about it, you can always call back. So would that sound good to you?
Hey, that sounds great. I appreciate that a lot.
Cameron, I'm just curious. Have you ever seen Marcus Grody's show, The Journey Home?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you could just Google that, too. Look up The Journey Home and The Journey Home Network and all that. You might be interested because you're interested in people's stories of how they did it. And that's what of how they came into the Catholic Church. And that's what Marcus Grody does on that show. It's a Catholic favorite, too. I think you'll enjoy it. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold and the call screener will get your address so you can get that free book from Trent. I'm guarding my copy here, Trent, so you don't give it away. You're the book giver awayer.
So you don't want somebody else to benefit from this who might not be Catholic? So you might, right. You might possibly imperil someone going to heaven because you want my book near. I'll get you a book, Si. It's okay.
You already did. That's why I have this one.
I can get you another book.
All right. I will sell this
my
one
goodness,
to you.
My goodness. I have an easier time with my toddler. We'll get you another balloon, Si. It's okay. That little girl can have the balloon too.
But this is my balloon. Oh, never mind. All right. Mike in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on 94.9 FM. Mike, I think we kept you waiting for a long time. I apologize for that. But you are on with Trent Horn. Your question, please.
Hello. Yes. I recently joined a Facebook page. It has over 2,000 followers. Mm-hmm. It claims to be a page to help Catholics become Christians. But when I got on there, I discovered in reality it is all about ridiculing Catholics, mocking them. But there's only about 20 people who are really making these comments and mocking and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, in your opinion, would it be worth putting posts on that site, on that page, for the sake of the other 2,000 who are only reading but not necessarily commenting?
Yeah, and this is a question of pragmatism, and I'm always concerned about wasting time on the internet. I remember the advice of Jesus. Jesus said, "Do not throw pearl to swine. Do not give that which is holy to dogs, lest they turn and trample you underfoot." So we have to be careful of being judicious with our time, and that spending time to give the faith to people who are vociferously opposed to it, who are just rabidly opposed and don't want to hear it, may not be a worthwhile endeavor when we can use our time to reach other people. Now, you said there's others who may be reading these posts and could be affected. I think that's great. So, you know, if you can use at least a minimal amount of time, and I think a good way to do that is to keep posts short and to wait. And if you see something that is just a blatant error, writing a quick post like, "Hey, glad you're interested in Catholicism, but I just want to let you know Catholics actually believe this," and be able to back it up with like a citation from the Catechism. So like correcting if they're just completely getting something wrong. Or you can gently admonish people by saying, you know, "Hey, I'm a Catholic. I'm trying to get at the truth here. But do you think that it's helpful to talk about this way? Like, would you want Catholics to talk about you guys like this?" And so that can help if there's a more moderate person on the page who reads that to see, hey, here's someone who's interested in being fair. And maybe I don't want to be associated with these people who are being unfair. Just be careful not to get into a long flame war or a long thread war. That may not be as helpful. You can say, if they challenge you on things, you can engage them, be judicious with your time. But you can also say, hey, you know, I just want to correct people. There's a great website like Catholic.com that has great articles that might help with some of these questions and arguments you're throwing at us. But I just want to be able to, you know, offer the Catholic view on certain things. I'm not necessarily here to debate. So just be pragmatic with your time and always interact with them with as much charity as possible, even if they don't deserve it, because that can go a long way, especially with moderate people who are reading the board. So is that helpful?
Yes, that is very much. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Mike, thanks for waiting patiently. I appreciate that. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking about why we're Catholic. And that is also the title of one of Trent's books, a very popular book, by the way, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. I'll let you know that everything at the shop at shop.catholic.com is on sale for 15% off right now, and that goes through the spring. That's our spring sale. So if you go to shop.catholic.com right now and you buy Why We're Catholic, you get it for 15% off. If you just call and be nice to Trent, he'll probably send you a free copy, though. So there's that.
It is quite possible. Charity goes above and beyond, and you never know what rewards will reap.
Did a saint say that? Or is because you also have this book, What the Saints Never Said.
I think that's just you. It might be from the Bible. It's from 2 Hesitations 3:14.
See, that's the thing is, these Catholics, they just make up books of the Bible. That's what they're going to say, Trent. we'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What's up, EWTN family? Save the date, Saturday, November 3rd, Jacksonville, Florida. Join me for the EWTN Family Celebration. I'll be there with all your favorite EWTN personalities and amazing people from all around the country. See you there.
Don't miss the EWTN Family Celebration coming to Jacksonville, Florida, Saturday, November 3rd. Join us at the Prime Osborne Convention Center for this free event. For details, go to EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why We're Catholic is our topic today. We take that title from the title of Trent's book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. Which letter? Where is it in the Bible? Where it says, is it 2 Peter? It says, be prepared to give a reason for your faith? Or
1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Always be ready to give a reason for the hope within you,
yeah,
but do so with gentleness and with reverence.
Oh, that's a perfect – that describes what you did here in the book. That's what we'd like to do. If you have a call, we'd like to give a reason for the hope that is within us. But you got a call if you want to get it. 888-318-7884. If you're Catholic, you're welcome. If you're not Catholic, you're welcome. 888-318-7884. Alicia in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Trent Horn. Your question, please, Alicia.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm a cradle Catholic, and my boyfriend is Protestant. And a couple years ago, thanks to Catholic Answers and some other apologetics, came a little bit closer, a lot closer to my faith. Mm-hmm. But I'm struggling in this relationship whenever we go to Mass. He goes to Mass with me most Sundays. But he feels disconnected and unincluded during communion, but also when he doesn't understand what's going on, for example, standing up and sitting down, why we're saying what we're saying. So my question is, do you have any recommendations on how to help him feel more included?
Sure. Well, I think one thing that might help him, Alicia, is to help him better understand the parts of the Mass that he can participate in, such as hearing Christ proclaimed in the Liturgy of the Word, taking part in things like the beginning act of contrition, you know, when we talk about Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, going through the Mass and being able to recognize where parts of it come from Scripture and being able to pray along with that. So a book reference might be helpful for him to get a deeper understanding of what the purpose of the Mass is and where the different parts of it come from Scripture. So there I might recommend a book to you. Si might be able to double-check this for me. It's like A Biblical Walk Through the Mass by Edward Sree. So the book is by Edward Sree. I think it's called A Biblical Walk Through the Mass. And so that might be just a good starter to understand, hey, here's what the Mass is. So you can understand, like, when you go with me, you know, where all these different parts of the Mass come from in the Bible and say, oh, it comes from here. Oh, it comes from here. And then that excitement can build. Though, of course, then there's a problem. It's like, well, you get to go up for communion, but I can't, and I have to sit down. What am I supposed to do here? And here, one, I would talk about the ability to take this time to offer a spiritual communion, to be able to pray and say, look, there's times when even Catholics can't receive communion because the Eucharist isn't just some party favor we hand out. This is the body and blood of Christ, the real body and blood of Christ, truly present. And to receive it, one has to be prepared. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul talked about people who didn't discern the body and blood of Christ, who received it carelessly, and some of them became sick and even died. That it's a very serious matter that when we receive the Eucharist, when we receive communion, we're not expressing just communion with Christ through receiving his body and blood. We're also expressing our communion with the church he founded. That when I say amen and receive the Eucharist, I'm saying amen not just to Christ's presence in the Eucharist, but amen to what the church teaches and obligates me to believe as a Catholic. And so if there's times where I'm not prepared or other people aren't prepared, like if you were in a state of mortal sin or you know, you're in a state where you can't receive, you could offer spiritual communion and pray to be closer to Christ during this time when other people are physically receiving him. So that's something else I might offer. So a book to help walk him through understanding the Mass, using the time of receiving the Eucharist to pray, to ask for spiritual communion. And you can go to our website at Catholic.com. Father Hugh Barber, our pastor, I believe he just wrote a whole article actually on spiritual communion. So go to Catholic.com, look at the most recent articles by Father Hugh, and that might be a great one for him to be able to read. But then, and I've been there too, Alicia, because I'm a convert. So for a year and a half, I was praying. I was Protestant. Well, in the sense I wasn't Catholic. I was a Christian who was not Catholic. And I was there and I was praying and I didn't hold animus. I realized that I wasn't prepared yet to receive this great mystery of the faith because I had not become a member of the family yet. That at Mass, receiving the Eucharist is like eating at the family table. And I loved visiting the house. I loved visiting, but I wasn't family yet because I hadn't been received into the church. And so I wasn't prepared yet. And so I prayed and asked to be prepared and to be received into the church. So I guess you guys just might have to have continual conversations that for him to understand that giving out the Eucharist implies understanding what it is, believing that, and also believing what the church teaches. So does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you for your help.
Sure. I might also add something else. You could also, to help him find common ground, ask him, Well, do you think that there are some people, you know, if they came to church or they came to a Protestant church, maybe shouldn't receive the Eucharist? Like let's say, and not in a way to like offend him, but like let's say like an atheist came to either a Protestant or Catholic church, or, you know, wherever, and just wanted to receive it because he thought it was, you know, it's interesting, but he doesn't believe in Jesus at all. To ask him, like, are there times where it would be understandable the church wouldn't give someone communion? And so if he can agree in certain cases, like with an atheist or a non-Christian, yeah, that would make sense. You could say, well, the reason is because they don't fully believe what the church teaches. But the problem is he's in that same boat. He doesn't fully believe as well. So he just has to come to grips with, you know, does he believe that or not? If not, then this isn't something he should receive because he doesn't believe it. But if it seems like something he's attracted to, maybe he should seriously investigate whether it's true. So I don't mean a longer addition, but is that still helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
I also wanted to ask if you had any... you were talking about a podcast earlier. He drives around a lot. Is there any kind of audio book or podcast that you would recommend?
Well, I'd recommend two. One would for him to get the Catholic Answers Live app. So he might enjoy just listening to these shows and hearing the Catholic faith explained when people call in and ask questions. And I know a lot of people who are Protestant. We just had a caller. One of our first callers on the show today was Protestant. He loves listening to the show and getting answers. So downloading the Catholic Answers Live app, he could listen to these shows on podcasts when he drives around. He might also enjoy my podcasts that, from my perspective, my show is about equipping Catholics, but I make sure that the show is charitable and something that really anyone can listen to. And that podcast is called The Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, Council of Trent. That and the Catholic Answers Live app are two that I would recommend.
Alicia, thanks so much. I hope that is helpful. You didn't mention to her that I'm going to be doing the reading of your book on, you know, the audio version of your book. You didn't tell her that.
I wanted to keep that under wraps. Si, you know, we still have a short list of people. I mean, we've got you, but there's other candidates. I mean,
it's just me and Liam Neeson. You don't want Liam Neeson doing this book. You want me doing this book.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. But what I do have is a comprehensive description of the Catholic faith. I will find you, and I will share it with you.
That was very good, Liam Neeson, except for just a moment it became McGruff the Crime Dog, and then it came back to
Only
Liam Neeson.
Only you can take a bite out of crime.
Yeah, get him
Only
to read
you
your book.
Can take a bite out of heresy.
Alicia, why don't you just have your boyfriend call me, and I'll read the book to him while he's driving, because I want this job.
Well, second place, I've got Christopher Walken's number. We might give him a call.
Yeah.
Why are we Catholic? You know, our reasons for faith, hope, and love. Love's the greatest thing. The world love is what gets a mouse to kick and churn and turn milk to butter.
I like
to
it.
To cream.
But you know what it needs?
What?
A little more cowbell. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn is coming right back.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com, or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest. Why We Are Catholic is our topic. Lots of lines full, so I'm going to go straight to them and try to get through as many as we can before the top of the hour. We go now to Savannah in Honolulu, Hawaii, watching on YouTube. Savannah, thanks for watching on YouTube. Your question for Trent. Hi, Savannah.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry. I was trying to juggle two things at once.
Sure.
My question was about papal infallibility, as far, because my mother, I'm a new convert, and my mother is okay with the Jewish roots and everything, but she doesn't believe in where the authority of the Pope came from, and she doesn't believe in apostolic succession. So if you could answer and help me, you know, kind of convince her that the papal authority is something that we as Christians should recognize, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. There's different things I might point your mother to, but I think what is important here is to challenge the assumptions our Protestant friends and relatives have that, you know, she might ask, well, where does the Bible say that there's going to be a pope? Where does the Bible say this, you know, apostolic succession, this or that? And I might ask her questions like, well, what authority did Jesus leave us? Where does the Bible say all of our authority will be found in something called the Bible? And you would think that if this is our only authority, as Christians, our only infallible authority, why isn't that more explicitly found in Scripture? How do we know what Scripture is without this authority already being assumed? So to challenge those assumptions, to say, look, you're demanding this evidence for my authority. Let's remember, both of us have authorities we're putting forward here. And you want to see where mine is in the Bible? I'd like to know where yours is in the Bible as well. You know, one point I like to bring out is that, what authority did Jesus leave us? And you can ask her, did Jesus ever ask anyone to write anything down before he ascended into heaven? Did he ever ask for anything to be written down? The answer is no, he didn't. In the Acts of the Apostles, do the apostles collect, does it describe them collecting writings that will become the future authority of the church? It doesn't. So be sure, sometimes as Catholics, we get fully in the defensive mode. You know, we'll prove your papal authority, prove that. Okay, well, we both have authority. So can you show me where's the evidence for your authority? Okay, so we'll work on that. And then, all right, I'll offer you evidence for my authority. Number one, showing from Scripture, we can say Jesus intended to found a church. So passages I go to would be things like Matthew 16, where the church is founded on Peter. Peter is, his name is Simon. It's changed to rock. And Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. In Luke 10:16, Jesus says to the apostles, he who hears you hears me. So even in the Gospels, we see, and in John 21, Peter once again is charged to feed Jesus's sheep, to tend to his flock. We see that authority is given not to a book, but to the apostles. But then there's a question, though. The apostles aren't going to live forever. If they die, is their authority going to die with them? So when we look later in the New Testament, we see, for example, in 2 Timothy 2:2, St. Paul tells to Timothy, what you have heard from me, entrust to many faithful witnesses who will teach others also. He also instructs Timothy and Titus about the laying on of hands to presbyteroi, or priests and episcopos, bishops, overseers. So in Scripture, what we don't see is preparation for a Bible to be the sole source of authority. We see the apostles having authority and the apostles passing on their authority. And then finally, it's important for us not to fall into this trap that, oh, we have to prove everything we believe from Scripture, because we're Catholic. We don't believe in sola scriptura. The Bible doesn't teach that everything we believe is found in the Bible. So you could always ask her, Savannah, well, would you be interested in knowing what the first Christians thought? What did the very first Christians believe? Because they were the closest to the apostles, so they're likely to receive what they taught. And when you look at them, like St. Ignatius of Antioch in 110 AD, he said to follow the bishop as you would Jesus Christ. Clement of Rome, Clement was the fourth pope. Tradition says he was ordained by St. Peter. In his letter written in the first century in chapter 44, he talks about how our Lord Jesus Christ knew there would be strife for the office of bishop. And so that those he selected, they had successors that they selected for themselves so that their office would continue. So we see this, the very early Christians believed in this apostolic succession, and they were the ones most likely to receive it from the apostles themselves. So when you're talking, I would recommend, number one, challenging assumptions about authority your mother or others will have. And then two, showing where Jesus gives this authority to the apostles and the apostles transmit to others in Scripture. And I'll also send you my book as well, because there's a whole, I'm driving Cy up the wall here. We won't be able to keep the lights on.
I'd like
on.
To keep my job.
I would like to get to help people come to know our Lord and Savior. So that's something that I think I'd like to do. I have one more thought on that, but let's stop right here. Is that helpful so far? Do you have any questions or?
No, that sounds good. Thank you so much. That's very helpful.
Very good. And, oh, Savannah, let me offer one more thing that I think might be helpful. Your mother, does she attend a Protestant church now, or does she attend any church?
She was attending a church, and then when I went off to college, they split off and formed their own church. And then a couple years ago, I just found out she actually stopped going to church at all. So her primary study is just biblical, you know, all of her theology and all of her faith is based solely on the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I guess I would ask her, is that what the Bible teaches us to do? Pointing her to like 2 Peter 1:20, which says, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Or 1 Timothy 3:15, which says that you could ask her this, hey, Mom, the Bible, what does the Bible say is the pillar and foundation of truth? And she may know where that comes from. If not, you can say, well, 1 Timothy 3:15 says it's the church of the living God. So when we look in Scripture for our authority, we see it's the church. And the church is not merely an invisible collection of believers. Because Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one, not that we would all be invisibly united through the most minimal, lowest common denominator, but that the church would be one. And that the church would have authority. In Matthew 18, Jesus says that if a brother sins against you, bring him to the church. He doesn't say bring him to your church. He says bring him to your home Bible study. He says to the church. So something else I would just keep in mind in that regard. And yeah, there's a whole chapter on that. Chapters 10 and 11 are probably going to be the most helpful for you. So stay on the line. And we will send you a copy of Why We Are Catholic and the midway chapters on why we aren't Bible-only Christians and why we believe in the Catholic Church, I think would be helpful. So stay on the line and give the call screener your information, and we will send you a copy.
Savannah, you're in Honolulu?
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, you don't need to give the address. I'll just bring you the book. I'll be there tomorrow. No, actually, don't hang up. Wait, give us your address.
We will get that to you.
Maria in Boston, Massachusetts, you are up next. You are on with Trent Horn. Your question, Maria.
Great. Thanks for taking my question, which has to do with what Catholics actually believe about the existence of hell. In the last couple of weeks, I've caught a few portions of discussions on the radio regarding a recent interview that the Pope gave, where he was being quoted as saying, hell doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you could clarify that.
Yeah, this is going to be another example of fake Pope news, which is unfortunately pernicious in the, and ubiquitous. It's something we deal with a lot in the age that we live. The Pope did not deny that hell exists, and on several occasions he has affirmed the existence of hell. What is being referred to is the recollection of a conversation. It was not an interview. It was a conversation between a 92-year-old atheistic Italian journalist named Eugenio Scalfari. And this is someone who has interviewed the Pope on frequent occasions. They're friends. And so the Pope was speaking to him. And this is something Scalfari has tried to kind of say the Pope has said for several years now. I think in 2015, he made this claim as well. But it's his recollections of the conversations they have. And the Pope is trying to just speak congenially to him as a friend to help explain the faith to him. And there's no written record of this. And it's just his recollections that are taking things out of context. When we look at what the Pope has said in public addresses, he holds firm to what the Catholic Church teaches. I have an example here. On the 100th anniversary of Fatima back in 2017, the Pope said the following. He said, "Our Lady foretold and warned us about a way of life that is godless and indeed profanes God and his creatures. Such a life, frequently proposed and imposed, risks leading to hell." And the Catholic Church dogmatically teaches that hell exists. In paragraph 1035 of the Catechism, 1035 talks about how the Church affirms that hell exists, it is eternal, and those who die apart from the grace of God, apart from God's friendship, shall spend the rest of eternity there in hell, and that's why we preach the gospel here on earth, so people can be reconciled to God before their final judgment at death. So is that a helpful clarification?
That was quite clear and very relieving. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Thanks very much, Maria, for that question. You know, my favorite, I don't know favorite, but the one that struck me most about the Pope's quotes about hell was when he told the mafia in Italy. Do you remember this a few years ago? He spoke directly to the mafia and said, there's still time to avoid hell, but that's where you're going if you keep living the way that you're living.
No, right. He's had firm words, and that's something that in recent decades, even centuries, more like recent decades, popes have had to deal with both in Italy and cardinals and clerics in certain cities in the United States, like in New York, have to deal with, in Boston, have to deal with this as well.
Right.
But he's firm on that. And I remember he told a story about a priest during religious education as a child who warned about people going to hell. And he agreed with him and said, this priest was speaking the truth and you have to listen to what he's saying. So really, it's like, look, what has the Pope said on record? And look, I mean, this is an extraordinary claim, to borrow from our atheist friends. An extraordinary claim requires extraordinary evidence. For the Pope to officially deny a dogma of the Church, which is possible if he's speaking offhand as a private theologian, the Pope can make errors.
Right.
The Pope is only infallible when he speaks ex cathedra. So it's certainly possible, but it's extremely unlikely. There's only maybe a handful or one or two cases I can really think of in church history where a pope contradicted the teaching of the church in a public talk or something like that. So for me, then where's the source? Well, fine, where is it written? Where's the source? And when you look at it, you see how haphazard it is and how it's collected. That's why we have to always be careful when we hear something. When you hear something online or you get a story in your inbox, be very hesitant about clicking share or clicking forward.
Yes,
you don't want to be sending this stuff. That's why I wrote the book, What the Saints Never Said. It's so easy.
And Pope Francis is in there.
He is in there.
Right. But so is the hell one in there?
No, because there's always a new one that pops up. Yeah. But What the Saints Never Said, I have saints, but also well-known Catholics, including Pope Francis.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important when we hear different stories. My mom used to give me this advice. When she was young, when people told her something, she'd say, "Oh, really? Oh, really?" Exclamation point. But as she got older, she would say, "Oh, comma, really?" Yeah. Question mark.
Yeah, right.
So when you hear something online and it sounds salacious or it's like, "Oh, wow, big news being breaking," don't say, "Oh, really?" Say, "Oh, really? Question, comma, question mark." Yeah. And do a little digging before you send
especially
it on.
Especially when it's about Pope Francis, for crying out
yeah,
loud.
Yeah, so in What the Saints Never Said, an authentic quote of St. Teresa of Avila, authentically she said, "Never affirm anything unless you are sure it is true." So that is some wisdom of the saints we can't hold on to.
That is true.
Yes. Yes, and you can affirm that because you know it's true.
Thanks, Trent, for picking up on that. Tomorrow, well, you talked about Dr. Edward Shree's work. He will be
yes.
here first hour tomorrow. Second hour, Jimmy Akin. Looking forward to you joining us. Please do join us. We'll be here with you on Catholic Answers Live. God willing, then, we'll see you then.